Let me begin by saying congratulations to our newly minted young adults. You want to know that in communities and different cultures all over the planet, there are countless ways that this important moment is celebrated. Some include frigid water, a vision quest, and branding. We lovingly offer you a rose. To signify life's temporal nature and to convey the complexity of this life, beauty with hidden consequences, if one is not mindful. Sonia and Bjorn, congratulations. Graduation is looming, right? In just a couple of weeks, you will take the walk. And it feels kind of long, but it goes really quickly. And yet, it hasn't gone quickly at all, I imagine, is what you feel. Let's all take a moment to remember that day of our high school graduation. Do you remember it? You don't. I don't remember it. I remember the day of my graduation. I had no idea how much my life was about to change, and in many ways, how much it would stay the same. Up to that point in my life, school and summer vacation was all that I knew, and it was an amazing, blessed time. Then I stood at my graduation, excited and terrified, all in the same moment. Honestly, I had no idea what I was going to do after graduation. Up to this moment, I dedicated my early life to fun. And, okay, well, I was big into environmental justice. So, no surprise, I chose to take a gap year. But we didn't really call it a gap year back then. We just called it slacking. I decided that I would work in the field that I was most interested in, and so I became a zookeeper at the Burnet Park Zoo in Syracuse, New York. And I took classes in both science and math at the local community college. You see, I knew with great certainty that I was going to become a veterinarian. In that gap year, while working with animals and attending lots of veterinarian procedures, including an autopsy of an African gazelle, to which they opened the stomach and I almost left the room without leaving the room, I came to the conclusion that I loved animals too much to see them in pain every single day. So I made the decision to change my mind. I'd been a member of the National Ski Patrol, which are medical first responders in the ski world, and thus I decided that maybe pre-med might be a better choice instead. Being somewhat athletic, I thought that my specialty should be orthopedic surgery. In order to do this, I decided that I would attend the State University of New York in Cortland, which had a focus in sports medicine program. To be able to afford this education, I thought that I'd have to pledge myself to the military. I took the ASVAB, which is the Armed Forces Vocational Battery, and scored very well. The recruiter told me that I scored high enough to name my job, but there was no guarantees until after boot camp. I would be sworn in without a commitment that I would get the job that I wanted. So I had a decision to make, to trust a U.S. Armed Forces recruiter or not. It's kind of like used car salesman. In the meantime, my father, who had been diagnosed with rheumatoid arthritis, was not responding well to treatment at all. So he began a series of tests that would uncover that he had small cell lung cancer that had metastasized to his bone. I came home at the end of my spring semester of my first year. He was not well at all. His prognosis was dire, so I made the decision to withdraw from school to stay home to be close to him. I also postponed any further commitment to the military to the chagrin of my recruiter. He literally stalked me. I spent the next 6 months with my father as he lived and ultimately died in Kraus Irving Memorial Hospital. After spending an inordinate amount of time in the hospital environment, I knew in my heart of hearts that I could not be a part of the healthcare system. I had loved my first responder experiences of helping people, but being in the hospital on a day-to-day basis just really literally sucked the life out of me, and as did the grief of losing my father. To say that I was floundering and unsure of what I was going to do with my life was literally an understatement. I worked multiple part-time jobs for a temp agency and ultimately was hired full-time at a computer graphics company, Genographics, on the day that my father died. The rest is history. I'm not sure what I would have done if I knew the day that I graduated from high school that my immediate future was going to be so tumultuous. I had no idea what my future would hold. I had no idea how my dreams and goals would evolve and how I'd be changed by the life experiences that presented themselves. But with each experience and day and friend that I made or class that I took, my life was in the process of forming and reforming. I realized through all of this that it is actually a blessing, and I know this might be crazy to think about, not to know what our future holds. It's a blessing not to know. Graduates, youth who are now officially young adults, you've done the bridge. It's official. I could say that I wrote this sermon specifically for you, and in some ways I did. But in truth, what I'm about to say is really just about for anyone. To be honest, today is a major milestone for you because this is the day that you will claim adulthood. Although you will realize that your maturity will be questioned until you're about 35, trust me. We are all really on this precipice of our future each and every day. You have and are making big choices about college or no college, a gap year or no. Some consider the military, and some in our world do not have options beyond working a menial job, if they can find one at all. You're the lucky ones. As you pass this graduation milestone, you may think that life can't possibly get any better than what you've already experienced. You may think you know it all. Honestly, I thought I knew it all. How many people thought they knew it all when they graduated from high school? The rest of you are lying, I know it. But in a year, high school will be in your rearview mirror a long way down the road, and what you're afraid of now, new beginnings and big changes, will come at you quicker than you can possibly imagine. Am I right, Edge? Yeah. You will learn to think for yourself and on your feet, but never forget that you have a support system that loves you and can truly be of assistance if you need it. We know some stuff that might be able to actually help you in a pinch. They might even make you dinner. You never know. Life is an unfolding drama, and you are the lead. So let me pull back the curtain a little bit and share with you a couple of things that may be of help that we all need to be reminded of now and again. First and foremost, we have a core set of beliefs and understandings that we have developed along the way in our lives. And these are what inspire us, what ground us, and give our lives meaning. We can rely on them when we need to, so don't forget them, ever. Tend them lovingly and critically on occasion. They are the lessons that we learned in school and here at First Parish. They came to us hard won through friendships or in relationship with others. They are the lessons we have learned when we have faced challenges, illness, injuries, loss. These insights give us depth and help us to know who we are, help us to not lose our way. They are the ideals that we turn back to when we are in difficult places or when we are faced with a decision or we are stuck and we need to find our way back to our most genuine, authentic selves. Robert Fulghum, the author of All I Really Ever Needed to Know, I Learned in Kindergarten, would have us believe that there are 15 of these lessons that we all share. It is a simple list of the do's and don'ts we learned in kindergarten. So let's think about them. And go ahead, raise your hand if this is something you learned in kindergarten. Share everything. Play fair. Don't hit people. Put things back where you found them. Clean up your own mess. How many times have you heard your mother say that? Don't take things that aren't yours. Say you're sorry when you hurt somebody. Wash your hands before you eat. Flush. This is my favorite. Warm cookies and cold milk are good for you. Live a balanced life. Learn some and drink some and draw some and paint some and sing and dance and play and work every day some. Take a nap every afternoon. When you go out into the world, watch for traffic. Hold hands. Stick together. Be aware of wonder. Remember the little seed in the styrofoam cup? How many people remember that little seed? The roots go down and the plant goes up, and nobody really knows how or why, but we're all like that. Goldfish and hamsters and white mice and even the little seed in the styrofoam cup, they all die, and so do we. These are reoccurring themes that we will learn over and over again. The life lessons that we learn from the start, they're important to remember. But what happens even though we do all the right things and still we're rocked to our core by some life event or new knowledge and we feel lost or afraid and we still need to think on our feet in spite of it all? What happens then? First and foremost, don't be shy. Ask for help. Even if it's just saying, and I do this on a daily basis, out loud to the universe, I need a little help here. Breathe and remember that each decision is not forever, but only for this moment. And we have every right to change our minds if things evolve in a way that does not suit us. Always look to your motivation with regard to your actions. Are you feeling love or generosity? Fear or greed? Choose your motivation wisely. It will lead you to your ultimate outcome and to benefit either by good or bad karma. Consider what cost we pay for being open-minded and hearted. What do we lose by being closed-hearted and minded? In my opinion, the right choice is to remain open-hearted and minded. Surprise. No matter what the cost. What lessons can we learn in being vulnerable? What do we walk away from because of fear? I didn't learn that until I was in my 30s. Fear in general can keep us safe, but it can also stop us from taking risks that will enable us to soar high and gain great insight. What do we lose or gain when we choose to claim a sense of faith? What is faith? I'm not talking about religious faith here, per se, although maybe I am. I'm thinking about a sense of faith in what we can rely on but do not understand intellectually. Like the sun rising and setting and the planet spinning and our family loving us and First Parish or Unitarian Universalism being a voice of reason in a sometimes insane world. By the way, no matter where you go, and I said this to you earlier, Unitarian Universalism will be there. So keep close to this community that can walk with you on this journey of life. Because in this life, we need to have something. We need to have a touchstone of sorts or beliefs that we can have faith in. You do not have to be a Christian or a Buddhist or a Jew or a Muslim to have faith. One can be an atheist or agnostic, humanist or pagan, can have an expansive faith in specific beliefs. And they do not have to be religious beliefs. We can have faith in science, in humankind, faith in love. In talking to people about faith, especially at those particularly hard times in life, some have said to me that they need to believe that there is a heaven. How many people believe that there needs to be a heaven of some sort? Don't be shy. It's okay. Believing in heaven doesn't cost us anything. Nothing at all. It gives us hope at times when we're hopeless. It can help us feel more secure and happy when we lose someone important in our lives. I also know people who think that anyone who believes in religion or constructs such as heaven, well, to say it bluntly, are not so smart or somewhat childlike. This is when I turned to someone like Albert Einstein, right? He's got it together. He knew how things played out. And he explained that the most beautiful emotion we can experience is the mystical. It is the power of all true art and science. He to whom this emotion is a stranger, who can no longer wonder and stand wrapped in awe, is as good as dead. To know that what is impenetrable to us really exists, manifesting self as the highest wisdom and the most radiant beauty, which our dull faculties can comprehend only in their most primitive forms, this knowledge, this feeling, is at the center of true religiousness. In this sense, and in this sense only, I belong to the rank of devoutly religious men. One does not need to be devoutly religious, but why be closed to the possibility of the mystical? How can we be so certain about the ineffable? At the end of the day or at the end of our lives, don't be afraid of having faith or beliefs or opinions. Be afraid of being inflexible and uncompromising. Be afraid of what it means to not be open to beliefs and concerns of others. We are supposed to affect one another. That's what this life is all about. Our goals, our dreams, our faith and beliefs change as we change. And regardless of what anyone says, we do grow with every experience, with every encounter. That is the way it is supposed to be. Listen to me closely, everyone. Be an adventurer of your life. Embrace every moment with an anthropologist-like wonder. As we face each new day, we do so with a modicum of uncertainty. Hold the tension of this reality in hand. Realize that living this life can be daunting at times. This is the exact place when I feel fully vulnerable and totally uncertain. But then I remind myself that we are not human beings having a spiritual experience. We are spiritual beings having a human experience. This belief gives me the courage and the tenacity to carry on. Living and negotiating with self, the way that we do each and every day, is amazing and mystical. And in large measure, certainty is elusive because we cannot know the meaning of life, even though we think it's 42. We do not know all of the facts and figures of existence. And no matter how much we learn along the way, how many life experiences that we collect or classes that we take, we still can never know it all. This is a scary reality. However, it can also be completely and totally freeing once we let go of trying to be, shall I say it, a know-it-all. Learn what you can learn on this journey and dare to have faith in the face of disbelief. I wish someone had told me these things when I graduated, that life would throw me curveballs one after another, and that to feel safe and to be successful, I would have to be. Just be myself. Facing whatever might come. Be not afraid. Be daring, bold, and ever ready for the unexpected to blow your minds and your budget on a daily basis. I know with great certainty that you will all, graduates, seniors, all of us, will be able to handle it. I say this to all of us, and ultimately, no matter what you will be, you will be all right. And if you are teetering on the edge, remember, we are here, all of us, waiting for you to reach out. This is the one small piece of wisdom that I give each and every one of you today. We're all here for one another. Oh, and of course, my good wishes and my love. Let go. Be present as we enter a time of silent reflection and meditation. For this we pray, may it be so. Blessed be. Amen.